people in this lifetime have gone through
radio.
That their happiness is dependent on another person. I have been in that situation where I've always been independent, so I never really needed anybody. But I found that everybody does need somebody, whether you like it or not. But you don't have to be codependent on someone. When we're talking about codependency, we're talking about layers of, you know, our needs. And the thing is, what is our needs assessment going to say? Okay? So when we're thinking about this, we're thinking about less anxious pursuit for happiness. And our happiness shouldn't just weigh on a person or being with a person or that relationship working out. Now, we talk about friendships, we talk about those different things, but we never talk about the entanglement or the other stuff that goes into the caveat to that. So when we think about boundaries, we think about the laws of boundaries and things that we talked about before, and we're talking about sowing and reaping, and we're talking about our actions have consequences or our actions for someone, our actions against or towards someone in certain natures and things like that. Just one moment. Hi, Luke. Hi, you doing? I see you peeking. Hey, guys. So when we talk about all these different things like that, we're talking about risks and conflicts, and we're talking about finding ways for us to be in a good space. A good space like, I hurt you. You know, you hurt yourself. You also hurt others around you. So you want to bring positivity, and you want to bring a spiritual layer of, I'm getting where I want to be at, and I'm loving myself, living my true self, and authenticity. So when we think about the light of a relationship, we think about the light that somebody can shed on you if you have a good relationship. But we forget about the dark times when we go through betrayal, we go through trauma, and things change us. And I had a good conversation with someone, and it was really surprising where it came from. Because, you know, there's some people that have been kind of like suspecting of certain things, but coming to find out it's like only other two certain people that have explained to the situation went from 0 to 100 to 1,000 real quick, and then I'm having to deal with that one party that I trusted a long time ago. And it was a layer of people coming in, making a big mess out of the situation that otherwise we were just fine. And, you know, like, listening to this person tell me, you know, you weren't the problem. It was the other people that were in the situation. I was like, oh, okay. And this is what I was trying to tell you guys, that sometimes you can have those situations where other people can mess up a friendship or a decent thing. And then you're sitting up there looking at a layer of trying to go sort things out. And when we're talking about betrayal trauma, we're thinking about layers of friendship that can go disintegrate. Or we can have, like, a situation that needs to disintegrate that was otherwise working. So when we talk about those things, and we talk about miracle, we talk about relationships, and we talk about boundaries and spouses, and we're talking about even just dating. A dating relationship or a situationship, whatever you want to call it, I want you all to be comfortable with whatever you want to call your stuff that goes on in your life, whether it's an entanglement or multiple entanglements plus one, or if you've got, like, a marriage and plus one, and or if you've got a polyamorous situation, that's fine. But I want you guys to understand why it's so important to have that layer of okayness with this conversation, so we can unpack it in such a way that everybody's included, inclusive, whether you're LGBTQIA, whether you're heterosexual, whether you're homosexual, whether you're bisexual, whether you're pansexual, it doesn't matter. I don't care. You could be a homosexual for all I care. I really don't. Because at the end of the day, we need to talk about relationships in a whole understanding bubble here. So when we think about the law of exposure, and we think about love struggles and relationship struggles, and we think about understanding what someone is saying and their boundaries, we have to understand not crossing those lines, whether we're dating, whether we're sexting, whether we're not sexting, or whether we're just someone that's friends. So when we think about all these different things and we're thinking about marriage, you're adding another layer. You've got a contract between you and that person. And no matter what people want to say, that's not a contract, yeah, it is. There's benefits at the end, whether somebody dies or not. So you're benefiting somewhere along the lines in a relationship, whether you want to think about it, and it's always going to be some type of transaction somewhere. So when we think about this, I suppose spouses are less likely to emotionally be present in the marriage and love struggles. So when we think about this, there's a certain level of exposure that's okay in a marriage to each other, but to other people, exposing marital problems and issues, it does not work. It does not work well for anybody. Also, exposing or trying to paint a picture or a narrative that's not true about your marriage is also a bad way to do that, because when things get exposed, the things are not as they seem, then we have a problem with that. So I'm one of those type of people who tells most married couples, keep your marriage private, whether it's good or bad. If you're dating, same thing. keep your marriage private or your relationship private. If it's a common law or a relationship, you haven't been together for a long time and you're dealing with layers, depths of that, keep it still private, because once you start getting into a relationship and everybody knows who you're dating or who you're sexting, then you're going to have a whole problem. You're going to have a problem with a lot of nosy people. You're going to get a bunch of buddy excuse. You're going to get a lot of people who are willing to go and mess up a good thing. You're going to get a lot of jealous or hateful people if you've got a good relationship or if you've got a good marriage or if you have, like, some type of layer of understanding between the two of y'all, if y'all have entanglement and things like that. So I really think that we have to take a stand actively on loving your person or the person you're with. And if that's your person, having the law of boundaries, which is the law of reaping and sowing, our actions have consequences, then our law of responsibility. And our responsibility in a relationship is sometimes, don't tell anybody else, because you can tell your homeboy something and he tells them you're plotting to go bone your homegirl. And then when you think about it, it's just like the same thing in a marriage. You got to be careful what you tell your homeboys and homegirls about yourself. Because at the end of the day, we'd love to go and spout off, we have a great marriage, blah, 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 blah. And then you get somebody who's jealous hearted because they got a piss poor, horrible entanglement going on, and it might be their marriage that's down the drain. So when you think about this, you've got to be careful what you talk to people about, and you also got to be careful what you guide them to in your relationship when things are not good. So that's why we're having this intimate conversation and unpacking this as is. So I want you guys to understand my marriage is my priority, and this is where we're going to have this conversation about that part. And then we're going to talk about, it's called a breakup for a reason, because how do we know we're not getting back together? So I'm going to give you a case scenario, a case study on this, and what to do when you have something like that. When you decide to move in together, and you're about to, you know, a month out and things like that, and it was like that person's idea, and you decide to move in with someone, you're thinking about you had a bigger place, and you're going to be like, go to my apartment, and things like that. So you go move in with this person, right? Okay, great. That's wonderful. But once you start moving in, everything was perfect. We painted the apartment. We did all these different things, and pieces of furniture, and anything putting together is a mistake and a waste of time for both of us because it's delaying thoughts of finding our destiny. Here's the thing. Sometimes when you're going to move in with someone, make sure that it's a long-term thing. You do not move in with someone if it's not going to be anything other than just a situation, sex, relationship. If it's going to be like that, then have that understanding of front. Do not get into something thinking and hoping for something that you're not going to get. So this situation is figuring out pieces of furniture, removing your stuff. Then the day that before I'm supposed to move, after I've already given notice of my apartment, it's been rented, he tells me I'm thinking that I'm not the one. So he basically told you all this stuff and used you. So now you have to deal with the fact that you may have to find a new apartment, but he just sat there and set you up for failure. Those are things where we have to figure out where we stand beforehand before you go give up your apartment. And when we think about this, he's an amazing person, but how can an amazing person set you up for failure? How can an amazing person tell you, oh, give up your place and come move in with me, and then all of a sudden you're ass out? So basically, he set you up for failure. He has strong feelings for you, but he doesn't have him strong enough to be with you to live in that apartment. So when you think about this, I believe we were meant to be together. So when we think about this dear moment of dear child, dear lost child, you thought you had something that you really didn't have. So you're thinking about you have too many tablespoons, and it's worth it, you're not the one. Pretty conclusive so far that he's not a great guy. He pretty much led you on and thought you were going to have something with him. He pretty much needed money to go fix his apartment up, and then he kicked you to the curb, child. That's just what happened in that scenario. So when we think about this, you don't have to like him. He did it to save you both more time to pay down the line, but he also set you up for failure. So there are two different ways to this. You can say, I know it hurt like an effort, but at the end of the day, you have to think about, why did I not see the sign? We have to learn to start seeing the stop signs, and we need to start looking at the red flags that are showing up before, prior to moving in, or things like that before we move into a place, and then it's becoming a not a good time, or it might be a little cluster perfluffle of things going on. So at this point, Clarissa decides to go and date this guy, and in this, Clarissa is not understanding, because this is a case study, case scenario, just so it's not a real person. But this is like if you go and date somebody long enough to know whether or not they really want to be with you, then you go and move in with them later on once you're getting towards we're engaged to be married. Because the living together thing was not a solid contract living together without a solid understanding of where you stand with that person will have an inevitable, you made his apartment great for him, but not for you. So, Clarissa, where she messed up at, besides the awful timing, she can look at it in hindsight, he saved you from ever wanting to be with him again, but he also saved you from a situation of getting down farther down the road and him pulling that same crap. And then you're going to be asked out, stuck in an apartment with somebody that you don't want to be with. The only mistake that she made is actually letting go of her apartment too early, because she should have been able to see the signs earlier. But we also get to know by what we call oxytocin and that love potion number 9. So we're thinking this is the person. Oh, that's my person. That's my McDreamy. That's my McSteamy. And then when it turns out that the guy was just using her to get on the seat. So when we think about that, that is a relationship. Now let's switch it over to marital. In marriage, you can't easily get out of an apartment with someone. In a relationship, you can't easily get, or what we call a marriage in a house, you can't easily get out of the house. You have to figure out what you're going to do with your house. You got to figure out what you're going to do with the furniture. You have to think about the dog. You have to think about all these different things if you have a dog or if you have a cat or whatever animal you all might have. So when we're thinking about all these different things, we have to think about the questions that are important. When we're thinking about relationships, where do they stand? What are my options? Where do I need to go in my personal style of dating and making sure I don't run into Clarissa's situation where she didn't know that he's up here studying for her failure, she's giving up her apartment, and here we go. You're now homeless. So now you have to figure out, am I going to go live with my homegirl, homeboy after giving up my apartment? But what if she's got other variables and other factors that are missing that I'm not going to allow her to get another apartment? We're talking about money, time you spend investing in this person, but is this guy wrong? Yeah, of course. We'll call him Jake. Is Jake wrong? Of course he is. Jake is dead behind home. He set Clarissa up to think that she has a whole relationship that's going to happen, talking out both sides of his neck. She helps him get his apartment together. Then he says, oh, you're not the one. Why didn't you tell her that up front? This is where we have to have these conversations about boundaries and communication, effective communication. Like, tell that person up front, look, you're not the one, but you're good for, like, right now. So then that person would decide, yeah, I'll keep my apartment over here, but we can come over and I'll bang you, I'll smash you and stuff like that on a regular basis. That's fine. But do not have me giving up my place, and then you turn around and say, oh, you're not the one, really? Okay, is this what we're doing? So I want people to understand this in life coaching. These are part of these scenarios that people might come in and talk about. And I want you guys to understand it from this case study with Clarissa and how she ended up having a moment of, I thought I had something and you're the best thing I never had. Yes. So when you're thinking about this, your soulmate, where can I celebrate the layers of I've lost this person and it's called a breakup for a reason? So in that, we think about all of this, and we're thinking about, I think it's destiny for you to listen and see what's happening and make the smart decision, albeit sometimes painful. We have to look about moving forward with another person. If you and that guy are not meant to be together, or if it's a vice versa, you and that girl are not meant to be together, then you have to think to yourself, or guy and guy, girl and girl, whatever. If we're thinking about this, I'm sure the third guy will let him know, and he'll be sure to move mountains to win you back. But after he's created this cluster, her level of BS, the likelihood of Clarissa wanting to deal with him after he did all that is very low. Now, I can trust you because when are you going to do it again? So when we think about these different things, we have to think about real life is called a breakup because it's broken, begin to move on. So we're going to go into overcoming codependency or needing to be in a relationship. Because part of this is part of emotional-focused therapy with a lot of people is they are sitting with what we call codependent behaviors. And when we think about practicing self-care, learning to be more independent, and being realistic about expectations of your relationship, and setting those boundaries, it helps you not get, you got Clarissa. So when we think about this, if you're involved in a codependent relationship, you lose sight of yourself, you spend a lot of time with someone trying to fix your loved one, and you forget to create a healthier relationship with yourself mentally and your third eye up here, your chakras and things like that, and then taking time to explore yourself and explore the other party. Because my problem with a lot of people is they like to do this whole thing of, I'm going to figure out where I'm going while I'm going along to get along and date this person. You're going to end up being Clarissa or Clarence. Yeah, I said it. Because by the time it's all said and done, you're setting the boundaries, but you're also setting realistic expectations of the relationship, but you'll not need someone to be the source of your happiness. But if it doesn't work out, you're like, man, okay, it doesn't work out, okay. You're not looking for this, you're not looking for that. I'm aware of that, okay. I know where we're at. All right. What are we doing now? Are we smashing around? Is this just going to be something that we do for right now? And I'll just keep on looking for somebody that I want? You know, when you start asking these questions and things like that in a relationship, whether it's a sex-stationship, situationship, or a living together and everybody, just make sure you set those boundaries so you don't end up codependent. Because codependency in a relationship means that few boundaries are in place, and then on top of that, you are depending on that person or situation, and no doesn't mean no, and you're not being selfish by saying no. And then on top of that, or I'm caring or disrespectful, what you're doing is being honest. And being open and honest in a relationship is the best way to keep from having betrayal trauma or feeling betrayed when somebody does something to self-preserve themselves and leave you behind dry hands. So when you think about preserving your well-being, part of it is being honest with yourself and being honest with the other party. So when we think about dealing with your past and dealing with codependent behaviors or things that might cause you to have codependency, you have to get to a point that you have to look at your family relationships, abuse, neglect, or other situations that might have been negatively impacting you, causing you to be codependent on someone for love, care, or, well, some people will finesse the heck out of you and be lying to you all the time. So, you know, you got to find a way to move forward so you don't end up in a relationship and get Clarissa or Clarence or Jake. So when you ask yourself these questions, what's your experience with codependency? What's your experience with levels of being codependent on someone's happiness? What is your experience on being codependent on someone for, you know, picking you up when you're down? You know, we have to ask ourselves these questions and then explore for ourselves our life's desires, needs, and wants and things like that, our thoughts and feelings, and deeply reflect on what we need from our relationship. So when we're up front telling somebody, hey, look, Jake, look, Claire, look, Chuck, hey, this is what I want out of the relationship, and this is what we're going to do. Or you're telling Mary, Pharaoh, the high road, whatever you want to call it. You know, Mary or Lori, you'll tell her, hey, Lori, look, this is what I want in a relationship. Look, if this is what it is we doing it or not? So at that point, you've got a deep reflection of what you want so you can convey that to that person and communicate. So then you think about all the other parts of this. It's practicing being independent means choosing activities that make you independent. Start doing a key self chart. Do 3 cells on that chart. Make sure they go across. Describe your experience, your activity, and then the date that you've done things to be independent and not codependent on someone. And start going and taking yourself somewhere and doing something for yourself. Taking better care of yourself. Taking care of your hygiene. Taking care of all the different things that are important in a relationship, marriage, or anything else. And then on top of that, describe how you can set boundaries with your relationship and be specific. Nothing wrong with telling someone in a nice way without hurting their feelings how you want things. Because part of it is how you talk to someone as well. It's how they receive you. So when we think about this, is it difficult for you to be independent instead of codependent? Or are you comfortable being codependent on someone else? But remember, with that caveat of being codependent means that you will end up being dependent on that person for your happiness. So when you get Clarence or Lori or some sort of dad, or you end up Jake, you're going to be like, oh, I don't know what to do. Oh, my God. It's time to fall. No, you got to pick yourself up by the bootstraps and you got to figure it out. So we're going to go into emotional focus part of this. And what is emotional focus couples therapy? Emotionally focused couples therapy, y'all get sometimes, forgive me, is a short-term treatment approach that most of us people who are in the life coaching realm or niche of relationship coaching, marital coaching, divorce coaching, we literally are people who have a goal to reconnect partners when they have levels and layers of damage or when they have literally lost a layer of closeness or that bond with each other. So Susan Johnson and Les Greenberg is based on John Bowlby's attachment research. It was spanned over 50 years. With that being said, Bowlby found that humans have a higher primordial level of wanting to be close and having connection. So when we think about an intimate need to feel attached or comforted by someone, that's where we have to look at where do we rekindle the bond where it's broken. So that's where we talk about betrayal trauma therapy and being able to understand couples therapy from that end and that perspective, because most of us have had some type of trauma. Yeah, I said it. Most of us have had some type of trauma, some type of betrayal, some type of relationship that threw us for a loop and made us not have our mojo and our spark, and we're just both just really like, I'm burnt out on relationships. I don't want to do this. Some of us in the marriage, I'm burnt out on marriage. I don't want to do this. Point, you're looking at the adult attachment or relationship and how they are believed to have some survival function. So we all need some type of closeness like this, you know, and we have some layer of a mother-child bond or some type of father-daughter bond or father-son bond. And somewhere along the line, we're looking for that in our mate. Primordially, we'll be looking at this through the lifespan. However, due to our relationship history and due to our relationship and negative interaction cycle we get into over the span of our relationship careers, it becomes a level of many of us have difficulties with trust. Many of us will have expressing emotion to others who mean the most to us. Because after we've been damaged or traumatized over a layer of series of unfortunate events, we have a tendency to think that when couples argue about issues, jealousy, sex, or money, or origins of other arguments where we talked about relationship dissatisfaction, and we talk about layers of, you know, where there's some form of protest from one of the partners, one of the other, we're talking about attachment is not there, or it's becoming unattached from a attachment we initially had with the love posture number 9, or the oxytocin, or the dopamine, or the levels of different chemicals that are put together, you know, and we think of norepinephrine, and we're thinking about all those different things, and we need to feel close to a person after we, the in love wears off, the whole layer of I have love, which I had this conversation with somebody who's near and dear to my heart about having love, and the person was like, that's just bullshit. I was like, I wanted to laugh. I was like, I thought it was bullshit too, but you know, so I was like, okay, but I'm just going to go with this narrative, right? Excuse the language, y'all. I have raw, candid conversations sometimes, and I wanted you guys to understand, like, when I was listening to this person, I was like, in the person was like, yes. So I was like, yep, it is. It is straight up bull malarkey. And when we think about it, and that horse ball of malarkey comes out of somebody's face, I'm going to find the right word without having to say the cuss word. It's basically horse ball of malarkey. Because you're just like, are you serious? I have love for you. So that's your other way of saying it's over here, but it's not there. You know, it's like, oh, there's some love for you. Oh, you know, so put it up a slight. What do you want me to do? You want me to go fishing? Duck, duck, love. Duck, duck, love. Oh, you almost got it. You remember that commercial? You're just like, you tried it. So you're going to tell me you have love for me over here in this bottle? That's bull. Bull, horse, ball, malarkey. So, you know, when we had this conversation, you think about being fearful, dumb, and distant, or being made to feel dumb, fearful, or distant from someone, and then your worst nightmare comes along. When somebody tells you some manufactured horse balls will argue like that, you're just like, you know what, that's just straight-up booty chatter. Like, straight-up bum-behind, historical, anatomical BS. So when we think about negative interaction cycles, we go into with our partners or several partners over a series of unfortunate events or unfortunate experiences going wrong in dating, you begin to start looking at things from a different perspective. And then you think about the rigid modes of reacting to our partners. And we don't think that we're programmatic. We don't think that we are actually in a programmatic layer of reaction or capable of reactions or a dumpster fire of a snowball of a situation that goes from one end of the spectrum to the other, and then you're just like, at the end of it, like, what happened? So when we think about our reactions, when we're thinking about, furthermore, the toxic behaviors, patterns, and things like that that we notice of our relationships, or if we notice certain things that we allow in our relationship as they're not really deal breakers, but over time it layers, and then you start getting mad, and then you're just like, it relationship dissatisfaction. That's why we go to emotionally focused therapy, couple therapy, or marital therapy for people who need to go and iron these things out. Because sometimes you can salvage your relationship, especially if you start to realize that everybody's just about the same. You start realizing, well, not all these people are made the same, but there is some layer of a caveat of a programmatic schematic that all relationships have. So once you realize what the layer of the line of that relationship is, then you have an idea that multiple relationships revolve in a normal situation on the same pattern. But when you're dealing with abnormalities like betrayal trauma or extreme levels of toxic behavior or levels of narcissistic sociopathy or pathological narcissism, emotional abuse or torment or economic abuse, financial abuse, of course, withdrawal, then we're talking about layers that are getting far out of hand outside of the programmatic schematic that are normal. So we feel distressed, we begin to feel doubtful, fearful, and numb, and then we start numbing ourselves to these patterns of behavior until we blow up, and then we're like, beep, 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 you got me messed up, beep, 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 oh, no, you didn't, blah, 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 and then people think you're crazy because you're like, you never see me act like that. Well, because you did this over a period of time, and I tried to keep it to myself, and I tried to tell you multiple times what you're doing across the boundary, you don't think so. I understand, this is a boundary you've taken one too many times, and I'm bad. So when we think about this, we got to think about this in a non-judgmental environment. So part of the coaching is to make sure that we're in a non-judgmental environment, and then on top of that, work on changing the negative interaction cycle and to get them through a caveat of, okay, we're working with some hot grease here, but it's not like oil and water. So basically, you're seeing a wave of this like this, and you're seeing a wave of, okay, we're working pretty good, and the waves are going to start going like this, and you're going to start seeing a pattern of your relationship going back to normal instead of the spark flying out of there, and you're just like, okay, it's like a firecracker when it's like a dumpster fire crapshoot poop show. And then you're looking at the other side of it where pain, injury, and emotional injury become a despair comes, and you're just like, you know what, it's time to fall for the board. You know what, it's time to get out of this relationship, or it's time for us to break up, or let's break this engagement. That's where you have to look at when you have to really see couple therapy. Because you may really truly love each other and have this level of what was explained to me, and it was really a good conversation. I don't want to talk about it in detail, but I've learned something, and it was really, matter of fact, something that will help me going forward in any relationship that I have, is that I'd rather someone have unconditional love for me, unconditional love, than have a level of in love, because you can easily fall out of love with someone. And the person really put a light bulb in my head and like a little eye sign, because I was thinking to myself, you can really be in love with someone and then in a minute, and then something that you can do to make you fall out of love with them. So why not have unconditional love? It's better than being in love. So I just sat there and thought about it, but I was like, well, why not have a layer of being in love plus having unconditional love? That's the best love you can have. But then, you know, when it was explained to me, then I thought about how your parents love you, how your mothers love you, how your grandmothers love you, how your dads love you. And I was thinking, you're right, because they have unconditional love. They're not in love with us because that means it's gross. Your parents should be in love with you. But there should be a layer of unconditional love to where no matter what you do, I'll always love you. So that was explained to me, and I felt a little bit better about it. So when I wanted to have this conversation, I wanted us to unpack it from behaviors that become habitual, and we become rigid in our expectations of relationships, and we don't like to go outside of our norms. So when we think about a repetitive cycle of toxic things that are going on, then we're looking at levels of interaction and where psychological injury or pain or despair comes in, and then we start looking at the relationship going on for it. So when we think about EFT, we think about the cornerstone, and listening to the heart, listening to the mind, listening to the body, your spiritual, and starting to listen to your intuition and starting to navigate a relationship where partners begin to listen to the heart, one of the cornerstones of EFT, which is what does your heart tell you, but also what does your mind tell you, and then balancing out between your heart and your brain, and let them both become one and your chakras balance. And then you begin to look at how you can collaborate, problem solve, and compromise, and begin to have a better relationship. And what we need to feel secure and have a response, an appropriate response, is that. So when we think about self-defeating patterns or conflict or arguments, that does not help us. But sometimes arguments can help us breakthroughs if we're listening to not respond. If we're listening to be able to help our partner and love us in that nature. So researchers on success of EFT, which is emotional focused therapy, it appears that most couples at 70 to 75% of cases can rekindle their flame and let their sparks fly back with the relationship even after betrayal trauma if they truly unconditionally love each other. And then the thing is to send a clearer message to each other and be able to work through whatever they've got going on. And then when we think about this, my marriage is my priority. And here's the reason why I wanted to go over this. A lot of people don't think that it's important to look at marriage and marital problems in the sense of how do we work this out, how do we balance out our marriage, and how do we get back and find our way back to each other? How do we find our way back to ourselves and our each other and then become together as one? But you have to be together but separate. But again, to start to look at the separation, are we stronger together or are we stronger apart? So when we think about these different things, do you benefit from being with that person mentally, emotionally, sexually, financially, and all these different things? Then adding another layer of sauce to it, which means that you're going to want to find a way for literally loving that person through all their flaws and all, and unconditionally be willing to go through the growth period that it takes to rekindle a marriage and rekindle a spark in your marriage. Because a lot of people tend to think, I'll just do this little small thing and we'll get back to the way we were. No, sometimes it can be so bad that, yeah, I'm sorry, my allergies are acting up, and I'm up here trying not to be sneezer on here. So when we're thinking about all the levels and layers of relationship and we're trying to figure out where do we go from here, how do we save our marriage, how do we save what we have going on, you have to figure out how bad is it. You have to ask yourself, how bad is it? How bad is this relationship? How bad is the marriage? And, you know, is my marriage my priority? Or is it, do we need to separate so that we can both grow without each other? Or do we need to grow together because we realize we love each other unconditionally? So those are part of those things that you have to ask yourself. Then you have to ask yourself, like, where am I going with this? Like, literally, where are we going with this together? Are we going together separate, or are we going to do this because we love each other and we're going to be building on a better layer of my marriage being my priority? So when we think about this, I want to keep my marriage strong and healthy, or my relationship strong and healthy, or my engagement strong and healthy. I treat my partner with respect and listen attentively. Listen to this here. I am polite and courteous, even when I don't feel like it. I care about their welfare mentally, emotionally, financially, sexually, and every which way spiritually. I provide support and validation. I cheer them on when they're struggling and celebrate their victories, just as if they were mine. I try to see situations from their perspective, and I try to walk in their shoes. I let them know that their feelings matter. I validate them. I care for them. I love them. So when we think about this, I give generously. I pitch with the household task. I begin to think without keeping score. I begin to love without keeping score. I begin to validate without keeping score. So when we think about this, we're thinking about I bring my partner presents with their favorite foods, their favorite novels. Oh, I think of little things that make them happy. It's the little small things. The small things like the notebook. You know, when you think about the movie The Notebook, do you remember that where the guy, it was kind of a span of 50 years, and from the time they were teenagers to the time they were grown to the time they were old. And every time the husband goes to the nursing home to read the notebook to his wife, because this was a notebook she kept of their love life. And it was amazing because she had Alzheimer's. But the love story in that was something so beautiful. They were like penguins. They were stuck together. No matter what happened, they still were stuck like that. They went, and over the waves of their time, their love was timeless. So when we think about that, we think about I show affection. I start the day with a hug. I greet my partner at the door. I give them a kiss. I give them the same opportunity. Our familiarity becomes stronger. Our bond becomes stronger. Our love becomes stronger. I think about the foundation of intimacy and trust. And if our trust is broken from betrayal trauma, we are working our way back to trusting each other within reason and beginning to build that bond back with the way it used to be, but it'll be better than it used to be. It's not what it's supposed to be, but what it used to be, but better than ever. So when we think about this and betrayal trauma and why people have a hard time being able to build their way back in building their relationship, their marriage, or if they had an engagement, or if they were together for a long time and then they broke up, there's a layer of there's history there. And you don't just go back to somebody because you have history. You go to someone that you love. You don't go to someone because, oh, we've known each other 5, 10, 15 years, and we just keep going back. A lot of us have done that. I've done that. I've done that with a 15-year relationship, and I did that with a 10-year relationship. And I'll tell you, that was the biggest regret, and I should have never did it. Because they changed over time, and I just ignored the red flags because my image of those two was different. The person that they presented to be was not who they're supposed to be. But the one situation actually was that out the way it was supposed to because there was too many layers and too many caveats of other people that messed up a perfectly good friendship that was very close and we were very tight. We had unconditional love for each other. We still do. And what was funny is that when we had this conversation, and I don't want to go deep into it because I don't like talking about my personal life too much, and I don't like to give y'all too much of my personal situation. But these are scenarios that we all need to look at and understand and dissect it in a limited scope. So with that being said, I want you to understand that having a fulfilling life or having a fulfilling understanding of a relationship and how dynamics go. Hi, Doc. How are you doing? When we're thinking about how to balance all that out, we have to figure out how is your relationship and keeping the spark going and keeping that level of love for that person, whether or not you're together or separate, or wanting to see them with someone, no matter, even if it's not with you, but you love them enough to see them with someone else, if that's the case. So when we talk about these different things, and we're talking about healing and being able to heal from, like, trauma and upset or betrayal, we have to find a way to not keep the score when it comes to down to what the body already keeps the score, okay? The body keeps the score, and you have to work past that, the desire, the love, the sexual power outlets with each other, and then getting to know each other's body all over again, and the intimacy has to get back to the place it was. It just takes a lot of getting out of your head. And really, it's one of those things where you can't take it so serious in the beginning. You just have to take it one day at a time. And then you have to begin to start to say to yourself, am I going to keep this fire burning with this person? Am I going to keep this layer of love for this person? Or do I just have a fantasy with this person? So with that, you have to ask yourself these questions. You have to be mindful of that. And, you know, with this module that we're in, I wanted to take a part out of this module for you guys to understand, so you understand the whole layer of the 49 weeks that you're with me, that you're going to understand that these lessons are pertinent and imperative, especially if you're going to go through relationship, miracle coaching, and things like that, or EFT coaching is what I call it, mostly focused therapy, and things like that, for you guys to be able to go hone in on the different parts, because it is 7 layers, but it is over numerous weeks. And I want you guys to understand we can do it in double time, but I'd rather take the 49 weeks for you guys to understand how important it is to go through these different processes, because we need to have these conversations. We need to have these scenarios, and we need to have these moments of clarity. We need to be able to understand from the point of a coach and then from you as a client, and then for you guys to understand your codependency levels, and then also your independence levels, and then your rekindling flame levels, and your desire and want to do the work that's required. Because part of that is, being married is one thing. Everybody's in love with the idea of being married. Everybody's in love with the idea of living together. Everybody's in love with the idea of dating. But they're not in love with the idea of doing the work. After the love potion runs out, then the being in love runs off, and then the long where the commitment's supposed to be there. That's true love. True love is loving the person well past the being in love part and being able to still love them unconditionally no matter what they do. Just like how your parents did, except for you're not screwing your parents. Well, what the fuck y'all do that too? But like I said, you truly have to love someone to really go past the betrayal trauma part, the mental part, the parts that are hanging you up on you not wanting to work things out. And you seeing that person and loving them on the first day you saw them or the first day you looked at them and you fell in love with them. You still see them. Like, remember the movie Shallow Hal? How saw the big girl in a skinny mode? And the thing is, she was set. But there's nothing wrong with her being fat. He saw the beauty in her inside. So therefore, whether she was skinny or fat, she still loved him. Or was it that he loved her? Yeah, Shallow Hal. Because she ended up, well, she liked Hal. And then Hal didn't like her in the beginning because she was so big, but his blinders the other way through. Okay. Yeah. I remember because it was Gwyneth Paltrow. She played a movie. And then Hal, he was the one who's shallow. And then he had a spell cast on him, and so he started seeing her in the skinny woman's mode, but she was really a big girl. And people couldn't understand why Hal fell in love with her. And then she loved Hal, but at first he played him to the left. So it was one of those types of things where, yeah, that's how the story went. I don't know. So when you think about it, our lives, we live with blinders on. We live with blinders on, and we look at people and the image that we want them to be, but the real truth them, we are not in love with that. And that's where a lot of people will start forgetting that true love is being in love with the part that you really didn't want to believe and see. And we're really loving them through flaws and all, whether they're perfect, skinny, big, fat, ugly, whatever. It doesn't matter. Because I might not be beautiful to some people, but I might be ugly to the next man. So vice versa, to some other guy, I might be his cup of tea. And then there's some other guys, I might be just not what they're looking for. So it's the same thing with the shallow Hal type of thing, where Hal had the blinders on, and he started seeing the woman for not being rotund, but he saw her for being beautiful on the inside. So when we think about this in relationships, in our marriage, it's the same thing with rekindling the flame and rekindling the want and desire to go and still be married, one, or if you're engaged, two, or if you're living together, three, or if you have a situationship and you're wanting to go and rekindle that flame with that person and see where it goes. So when you're talking about these different things, we're thinking about layers of how to get back there, and then on top of that, where did all of our passion go with that person? Where did this flame go out with this person? Where did we lose each other? So I want you guys to understand that we're going to do another part of the series today where we can keep things special, but I want to talk about the marriage being a priority and being important, because a lot of people think marriage is just all hunky-dory and every day is a good day. And then a lot of people's idea of being in love with marriage or relationships or always wanting to be in a relationship, once that wears off, then you're on to the next one. But it's like the same thing, same cycle. You just have to work on your codependency to be in a relationship first, and then work on wanting to be able to love yourself and having a deep relationship with yourself. How should be in a better relationship with the next person that you're going to be with, or if you're going to go back with someone, and if they will have you, then you'll have a layer of understanding so you won't screw it up. So when we think about all of this type of stuff, we're thinking about layers of my marriage being my priority. So when we think about all of this, we think about, I deal with conflicts promptly. I deal with the layers of I'm willing to negotiate and compromise. Negotiate, compromise are the two most important things in a relationship. Hi, baby girl. How you doing? So when we think about all of this different stuff, we think about where we're parenting and our responsibilities when you're adding kids into the layer. And then we're thinking about, we don't want to parental alienate the kids. We don't want to parental alienate each other, as in if we share children or if our dogs are children, or if we're in a situation of if you had a cat, it doesn't matter if you got iguana, I don't care. Whatever pet you have, whatever y'all share with each other, as long as you guys are able to rekindle that spark and figure out where y'all are going. Because I think everybody gets lost in the sauce, whether your marriage is a marriage on paper or the marriage to each other, as in y'all have history and things like that. And again, like I told you guys, just because y'all have history doesn't mean you need to be together. But if you really truly have unconditional love for this person and you want to be with that person, those are those situations where you can work that out. And it's as long as the person's feelings mutual. So that's where we talk about communication levels and being able to sit there and say to yourself, I discuss my feelings, I discuss my thoughts. And, you know, at this part, I greet my partner with a hug, mentally, emotionally, sexually, financially, economically, and I still hug them physically. So when we think about this, we're thinking about I share my goals. We work together as a team to build a fulfilling life. And think about this. There is no I in team. So when you're a team with someone, your person shouldn't be your opponent. So you should never be sleeping with the enemy or sleeping with someone that you feel is your enemy. Okay? So if it becomes a level of betrayal, karma, and things like that, and it becomes a layer of I'm sleeping with the enemy, you have to figure out where did they betray you at and what part of it is a deal breaker for you. And if it's not a deal breaker or if it's something that y'all can work out, then fine. Go forward with that. So that's where emotional focus therapy or emotional, you know, trauma therapy and things like that go hand in hand to where you guys can work on a dual level of therapy. And we have where we can run it consecutively, or we can do the courses in a course of 2 years, and you'll just go from one graduated course to the other. And that way we can see how you guys are going to be working out over a period of time. You'll just pay the second portion of it for the trauma therapy and things like that, and we'll go through how that works. So when we have our one-to-one conversations and things like that, we'll be able to go and balance out, figure out, hey, are you needing this and this? Are you needing this and that? Or are you only needing this part? So when we talk, we need to be able to build a rapport so I know where you're at. That's why I ask you guys to fill out your paperwork and things like that. So you can tell me exactly what's going on with you. Now we can figure it out from here, what you as a couple need, or if you're divorcing and you're just needing divorce therapy and that's it, or your children are needing therapy and we're just needing to talk to them about mommy and daddy never be here again. That's what I meant by it's called a breakup for a reason, and we got to be able to incorporate the kids in this for them to figure it out. Mommy and daddy are not going to be getting back together because daddy Flores, Flores is mommy, and mommy does not want daddy to work. So then you have to be able to explain it to children that mommy and daddy love each other, but they're going to be separating or they're going to be divorcing. That's that scenario. But what we're talking about today is rekindling a spark and being able to rekindle a flame with that person and then dealing with the conflict promptly and, promptly but efficiently, but without hurting each other, without pointing out, oh, you did this and you did that. Okay, well, you did this too. So we're both wrong. You know, and then there's a layer of, do you want to be right or do you want to be wrong or do you want to be together? Which one is it? So when we think about this, negotiating and compromise are the two key parts. So when we think about this, we search for solutions and resolutions and satisfy both their needs. So eventually you can get to the point that you start being turned on by each other. You're not having a level of female ED or male ED, and you're starting to feel a sexual like conversation with each other, or you start to like want to be around each other or kissing each other like it's like never changed. So those are the things that if you love and you love yourself and you love that partner, you can pretty much easily fix it in those retrospects. But when it's the other way around, where you're dealing with a layer of there wasn't any love to begin with in some cases, like the 15-year and the 10-year, there's no way we're going to fix that. If there is true love and true understanding and true emotional attachment and true levels of I care for you, I love you, or it's unconditional, I love you no matter what you do, that penguin thing where you cannot separate, then that's different. That's that type of love that can be rekindled. Or if you have the layer of you have an intelligent relationship with someone to where both of you are traumatized people. Okay? We get that part. Both of you are traumatized people, but both of you guys have to realize that there's a layer and a caveat of being traumatized, but not punishing each other for the trauma that have either been caused by prior relationships and figuring out how you guys work past the trauma itself and the trauma narrative and become trauma informed with each other and begin to balance each other out in your trauma and begin to talk about it so you can learn each other how to not hurt each other. So when we think about this, I scheduled date nights. I enjoy spending a couple of times together from work and parenting and responsibilities, and we learn how to love each other. We learn how to accept each other. We learn how to be emotionally attached to each other again. We learn how to become each other's trauma battle buddy. And then of that, we have fun and remember the qualities that brought us together in the first place. That's part of rekindling spark. And when you let the spark fly, you're thinking my marriage, my relationship, my dating relationship, my engagement, or whoever I love. It's important to me, and I'm not willing to lose them based on that simple thing of things happen and we're both traumatized. So in that, I want you guys to understand this trauma-focused therapy and this lie is to help people who are dealing with that to figure out a layer of, are y'all going to stay together or not? Are y'all going to break up and be okay with other people being with that person? Are you okay with somebody sexting that other person? Are you okay with seeing that person with someone else? So at that point, you have to be okay with not having obsession or possession of that person. I don't believe in obsession with somebody. I don't think that's healthy. I believe in understanding a level, a layer of we're together but separate, but we are bonded like what. So when you think about that, that's fine. But when it becomes unhealthy, fatal attraction, fatal vows, then we need to talk about, okay, we do need to split up because something's not healthy, you might kill me. So when we're talking about that, we have to have the understanding. And then we have to have a level of understanding that today I connect with my spouse, my relationship, my marriage, and then on top of that, I treat my marriage like a garden that needs daily tending in order to grow and in order to thrive. And it's the same thing with my dating relationship or if I'm going to be getting engaged or if I'm going to be getting married or whatever y'all have in a situation. Or if you are divorced and you're meeting someone new and you're going into a new level of layer of meeting someone and figuring out, hey, where do I go from here? Do I want a relationship with this person? Do I really want to go and see if I can go past the trauma and actually be with someone? So those are things that we have to talk about. So we're going to ask each one of you some self-reflective questions. And what I mean by we is me asking you, so we're talking about we. So when we think about this, how do I define commitment? How do you define it, y'all? For me, at Down Diva Coaching, INCC Coaching, and Team World Got Online, and tell me. And then call 833-INCC, 833 my appointment, 833-BOOK-ME-TOO. And you can go book on the website, INCC Coaching, https, downdivacoaching.com, and then Team World Got Online, and it's Team World Got Online, and then INCC.com. So when we think about this, how do I maintain my own identity and help myself to make my marriage stronger, my relationship stronger, or my dating relationship stronger? Or if I'm getting engaged, how do I make my relationship with my soon-to-be spouse stronger? So when we think about this, what is the one thing I can do today to make my partner smile, my spouse smile, my fiancé smile? Those are the things that you need to be thinking about so that you guys can figure out if you can go get past whatever it is. So with that being said, I want to make sure that we do some affirmations about relationships. And then on top of that, we're going to go into another layer of it tomorrow, but I didn't want to make this too long. But I want you guys to understand why it's so important in that. So as I like to coach you guys through marital or divorce or wellness or anything that has to do with relationships, I want you guys to understand the motivation, the personal style, and then on top of that, exploring the options that you have before you go and throw your whole relationship away or your marriage away or your engagement away or things like that. And think about how your attention should be for your spouse and your fiance, or if you're in a dating relationship and you're figuring out how are we going to handle this thing. And then on top of that, you know, every life choice has ups and downs, and your couple friends are going to encourage y'all to be together, but if it's at the detriment of your mental health, emotional health, your sanity, then no. If it's a red flag, then no. But if it's something that you see that can be a potential reward, can you guys have a lifelong relationship or a lifelong marriage that can be salvaged, then yeah, that's fine. So when you think about those different things, every life choice has its ups and downs. Remember that the true best for life is what you put into it. And then when you think about this, attractive qualities around you, whether you're looking for love or friendship or in between that or having a situation or a long-term life partner or whatever you want to call it. So when we think about building a strong relationship or maintaining it, it means have you explored a level and layer of, have you seen sitcoms like Chandler and Janice break up and how Janice was so irritating and aggravating and how Chandler, he began moping around listening to sad romantic songs and things like that, but he was codependent on Janice for his happiness. And so he started realizing things he didn't like about Janice, and it was like, ugh. So when you think about this, and you start thinking about the movie Love, and you think about all the different things that a person can do, you can laugh at the situation, or you can mix it up. So we're going to talk about the different elements of your life tomorrow, but we're also going to talk about building a strong relationship, even if you can laugh. And at your own view of how your relationship went, and your version versus their version, and share some similar tendencies in the relationship, you might have something salvageable. And then you want to edit out the realities of life and cut out all the extra BS that goes along with it. Because when we think about this, we want to cut to the things that are great, but we never want to go through the layers of dumpster fire or poop show that goes in between it, and you're just like, ugh. You know, so when we think about this, we think about the heroin kiss, and we think about the ride off into the sunset together, but we never think about the points where we're like, is this what we're doing? I don't think I'm ready. You know, and then, or I think I'm ready for this. Then you go into a cycle. So when we think about this, what happens beyond the sunset? Do the hero and the heroine get together? Do they have a beautiful ending? Do we think about marriage and relationships, the perfect children? Do we think about the sun and the bright side? Or do you think about the fortunate level of salvaging a relationship, figuring out where it's going to go? And then, you know, refuse to let it go. Just like when you go to a level of cutting room floor of a movie and you're editing out things and you're doing production and you're figuring out how to make the perfect movie. It's the same thing with your marriage, your relationship, and dating. How do you make the perfect relationship, marital situation, or if you're going to be long-term life partners, how do you make this work? How do you make it work to the point that your future offspring or greater letter of protection for your mental health, emotional health, your sanity, your well-being does not get compromised in the middle of that? Or if there are things that are designed to break you up, how can you have unconditional love for each other to still work through it like an old married couple? Yeah. So when we think about those different things, we think about there's a lot of mass confusion and worry that comes in the middle of relationships, ups and downs. But the part about commitment and levels of compromise and negotiation are part of the keys to marriage is staying married. And if you really are a person who's not just infatuated with the ideal of marriage, you'll be able to stay married, or you'll be able to rekindle your relationship, and you'll realize that divorce is not an option. Or you'll look at it as a way to find a chance for two halves of the whole thing coin. So nobody's perfect. So when you think about this, we're thinking about taking action, the first step, and where we make progress and where we fall back and fall short. That's why you can spend so many weeks with me, and that is why it costs what it costs, because you're getting 49-plus weeks with me. Plus, if you're going to do another layer of coaching, which is going to take about maybe 2 years, estimated, It depends on your progress level. So we'll give you 2 years, right? So we'll be going to couples therapy. You'll be doing this with me, and we'll be doing this, and we'll also be doing trauma therapy. So if we have to do a dual-layer therapy, it may take up to 49 weeks or 49 weeks. So we're talking about a layer of a long time. We're talking about 108 weeks that you're going to be with me. You're going to be sitting down and doing this through the layers in depth of almost 2 years, and you'll be doing a lot of work. And a lot of that time, it takes that time for you to be able to get to where you need to be at with your relationship. Long after it's still going good, you may have ups and downs, and we need to measure how far your relationship is. That was just wrong. Y'all, that was just my dryer. So when we're thinking about all these different things, I'm in my home office, but you heard it real loud. So when we think about all these different things, we're thinking about how our relationships are salvageable. We think about how our relationships can be worked out. We can think about that even if it's friendship, whether it even goes to anything else other than just platonic, or if it goes to anything more than that. You just have to figure it out as is and just go with the flow. So when we think about these different things, what are your motivated factors? What's working? What's not working? And then last but not least, I want you guys to get to a common goal of maintaining lifelong friendship, whether it works out or not. Part of people's problem is they don't know how to be friends first and before they get into a relationship, so they're going to have to learn how to do that all the way backwards. So we're going to talk about all of these different things, and we're going to talk about setting levels of ground rules, and then we're going to talk about layers of mixing it up and deciding whether or not we're in a relationship or nurturing a bond or family bond or things like that, or nurturing your relationship and figuring out if you're going to nurture the marriage as well. So that's it. I want to know what you guys are thinking. I'm going to sit here about 2 minutes with you guys, and then we'll be exiting out this live. I hope you guys enjoyed it, and I hope that you guys understand that the pair is important to love yourself, live your truth, live authentically, and then also begin to balance out your relationships, your marriages, and also if you have a dating situation or if you've got a fiancé and you're trying to work things out, then work it out with that person. I love and my heart, y'all. And I want you guys to understand that love is important. As long as you love yourself, like I said, love yourself first here, and then love that person. Then make sure that person is understanding of you, loves you totally and unconditionally. And then, you know, you don't have to test the relationship to the point that you have to test them on loyalty, but you definitely need to make sure that the person loves you all the way. So we're going to do some case studies and scenarios tomorrow about relationships, and then we're also going to do the other parts of this, but I want you guys to see a taste of my coaching style of what we do in our coaching sessions and things like that, and I want you guys to know that we literally need to build that level of rapport and things like that for us to get some real groundbreaking work and breakthroughs and relationships. And people in relationships is one thing that I would say is an emotion-generated thing, and with families and adding that layer of checking your beliefs carefully, and then where you're looking at your soulmate and things like that. And when you're looking at and say your soulmate is going to share some of your important values and goals, and then on top of that, when you think about it, it's easy for them to recognize that position in you or that thought of you and that position that they want you in their life. So when we think about that, know your position, know your role in that person's life. Like I said, have these conversations, and then you can attach to your friends gloriously or detach from friends gloriously, or independently have an independent relationship with yourself, and then being able to love yourself more and continue to get yourself together mentally, emotionally, financially, sexually, in every which way there is possible. So if you meet the one, you'll be together, or if you're not together, you guys can grow together and build together with each other and start to forge something wonderful, even after betrayal, trauma, and things like that. So, I'm going to give you guys the number to call in. So, we talked over different parts of this, which is going and overcoming codependency, and then being able to understand that. You can call 515-602-9765, and you're more than welcome to call in right now. I am on the phone, so you are welcome to call in. Tell me about your relationships and marriages or situations you've had. Tell me how you grew from it, and also tell me how it worked out for you. While we're doing that, if there's any calls, there's any callers online, I am definitely on. Switch bar is open for you guys to call, and I'll take your call. And I'm also looking for co-hosts and things like that as well, too. So let's talk about some cool, important things like affirmations and why they're important. And I told you guys we're going to go over that, too. And I want you guys to understand why it's so important to heal. So we're going to go into a session of healing from a betrayal, trauma, and breakup. We're going to do that as tomorrow as our next session. Because I want people to understand why we're going to go into the next part of this and things like that. So that we can have a good relationship, positivity, that some things resolve. We're going to talk about the negative relationship. We're going to talk about the positivity of the relationship, the ups and downs, normal things that we need to talk about. And, you know, the type of conversations that we need to have about relationships. Because a lot of people are afraid to go and have these conversations like this with their spouse or someone or even a non-spouse, or if they're actually exploring, you know, dating again and getting there and having someone with them. We have to be able to get to a point that we understand and understand each other and ourselves, and then being able to present ourselves as what we're supposed to be, not what we want somebody to see, and that's not what they're supposed to see. So, let me see. I give these courses and presentations all the time. So I want you guys to understand that we are going to be doing these in person, and then we'll also be doing these remote. So right now, during COVID, we're going to be doing remote coaching, and we'll be doing that for the interim until 2022. And again, the phone lines are still open, 515-602-9765. And then another thing I wanted to explain to you guys, at INCCcoaching.com is also adjunct to INCC.com. And I want you guys to be able to get those, to be able to book on those appointments that I have there. I finally put it also on Diva Coaching too. So I want you guys to understand that we have a layer in depth of that for you all. And also for teamworld.online, I want you guys to go book for your children, but make sure you do non-disclosure agreements and things like that. Let's do one. That I think will be perfect. My spouse and I are unstoppable together, or my dating partner and I are so unstoppable together, or my fiance and I are unstoppable together. I want you guys to hear that one. That might be a good one for you guys to hear. I want this to be a testament to people who are worried about their relationship and not being able to have it, their relationship with someone or being able to salvage it. When we think about this, think about that. My spouse and I are unstoppable together. I want to read this out to you guys because these are some of the things I'm writing that are important for people to understand when you're rekindling a relationship. Part of this is being unstoppable as a team. You see this part? You see this part? You see this part? It's just like the heart when you got the different parts and the ventricles of the heart and the muscle, we layer together. This one part of the muscle, this one part of the muscle, it melts together, and me and my spouse are unstoppable together. So when we think about this, we think about we're unstoppable because we complement each other. When one of us is weak, the other one is strong. When we are both together, we carry each other through. So when we think about this, we are forced to be reckoned with when we unite on a goal, when we unite on different layers of levels of how we're going to be in our marriage, our relationship, and every level depth of our life. So when we think about this, we are brainstorming together to execute together, to begin to, no matter what the outcome, we celebrate together all of our journey and all of the things that we're doing to build our relationship to be stronger. We are unstoppable together. Even above our children, we are each other's top priority because the best gift we can give our children is being together and being a unit. When we think about this, a healthy set of loving parents and also a loving spouse towards each other, or a fiance towards each other, or a dating partner towards each other. When we think about this, when we put each other first, all the other things fall into place like a piece of a puzzle. When we think about this, my spouse and I are a realistic goal. We have realistic goals based on our abilities. Our relationship is free from pressure of comparison to other relationships. We believe in amazing potential stored within each other. Laughter is a vital part of our relationship. It carries us through difficult times. It carries us through difficult times, keeping the big picture at present, which is our relationship, our marriage, our children, and our foundation that we have built. When we think about this, keeping the big picture in mind helps us to laugh. It helps us to keep from sweating the small stuff. The comfort of my spouse's hug is all that I need to get myself back on my feet after a difficult situation. That hug makes me feel everything I need. When we think about this, our love is an invigorating force against fear and worry, and we fear not, we trust the light and trust the process of our marriage. When we think about this, it gives me strength when I feel alone. It makes me feel like I'm able to go and take on the world. When I'm with myself, we are a force when we're together, and we're a force when we're separate, but when we're a bigger force when we're together. So when we think about this, my spouse and I see the opportunity to encourage each other through words and actions. Our marriage is free. Our marriage is free from destructive effects of negative criticism. Our marriage is free of unnecessary toxicity. And our marriage is a communication funnel of love. So when we think about this, we communicate openly about all of our issues, and we have our conversations, and we're able to get past all of the different things that are designed to break us apart. When we think about this, today I reflect on the countless traits I love about my mate, and I choose to say I love you in a special way that gives thanks to their unconditional love, their unconditional joy, the unconditional conversation, and the unconditional way that my soulmate or my mate builds me. So when we think about those different things, we're thinking about a layer of affirming that you love that person unconditionally, because long after the being in love wears off, you still find love. And stop thinking about them. You can't stop loving on them. You can't stop texting them. You can't stop doing the things that you used to do. Then that person is for you. Those are the things that a lot of people don't put into a layer of understanding when they're trying to rekindle the flames, the sparks they have. So when we think about this, we think about our spouse being the other half of the same coin. And if, when you start to look at that and the reflection of my spouse and I are unstoppable, let's ask ourselves these questions before we get out of here. Ask yourself, what are my partner's strengths? What are my partner's weaknesses? How can I SWOT analysis my partner and begin to look at the weaknesses that he may have or I may have? How do we SWOT analysis it and begin to look at the things that we need to do to make a smart goal to build our relationship stronger? Build him and he built me. How do we put on a foundation, a layer of bricks? How do we go and build a pyramid of wealth? So when we think about this, what acts of service do I do for myself and my mate today? What have I done to self-care myself? What have I done to self-care my mate? We have to start looking at those different things. And then how can I inject more laughter into my marriage? How can I inject more joy into my marriage? How can I inject more joy into my relationship? How can I inject more joy in my dating? How can I inject more joy with my fiancé? Those are the things that we begin to start to think of when we're thinking about dating. And when we get to marriage, you have to already look at this when you're in a marriage. How do I reinfuse that all into our marriage? How do I redate my mate? How do I re-love and rekindle that flame so that heart is not crooked, but it becomes perfect? So when we think about that, you're looking at an internal circle of life. Shed some light on your partner. You begin to look at the love that you have for that partner. You look at the devotion you have for that partner. Long after the in love is worn off. So that commitment, that negotiation, that compromise. So I hope that affirmation helps all of you who are confused about relationships or where you're going. Sit down and think about all of that, mull that over, and then start to begin to work on what you want and begin to tell your partner that. So that's it. So I'm going to close the phone lines and things like that. And then if you feel free to call after, then if you want to leave a message and things like that, some of the people are scared of getting online and talking about their personal life, but I wanted to build a rapport with you guys and offer for you guys to be able to call 515-603-9765. It's also posted on the Twitter. It's also posted on the Facebook, Talk Radio Diva. And you go to talkradiodiva.com if you have any questions or things like that. I am welcome to hear you guys and love to hear everything about you. And if you want to build your appointments and things like that, feel free to definitely go to DonDavaCoaching.com, IMCCCoaching.com, TeamWorld.online, and IMCC.com and book your appointments. I am glad to be able to coach you guys, and I welcome you guys in the beginning of this year to kick off running, and let's absolutely make this pop, make it happen. And you guys, I love you all. Thank you so much for staying so long. Stop. I will talk to you soon. And you know I didn't mean to do you like that the other time, but I wanted to make sure you know I still love you. Good. Good, good, good. I heard you too. You guys follow Doc? Devin, hi. Back at you. Heart.
I see you peeking. What's up? Hey. You guys follow my followers and things like that. I truly love these guys. They are really, really my squad of people who keep me up and up. They even check me when I'm wrong. So I want you guys to check them out. Check them out on Twitter, Periscope. And then also, if they have any social medias, let me know your social medias, guys, so they can follow you guys. Okay? So you guys definitely come on to my Periscope on a regular basis. Make sure that you guys go to Down Diva Coaching. Make sure you go to TeamWorld.online or TeamWorldOnline on Twitter. But you go to the website, TeamWorld.online. And then make sure you guys call 833-IMCC. Call 833 for my appointment. That's Down Diva Coaching. 833 book me too. That is for TeamWorld.online. That's for children, adolescents, and young adults. And then join the group. Okay? And I'll talk to you guys about the reset cleanses tomorrow. And then some. And then, let's see, what else? That's it. So, I will tell you guys, bye! Take care.